The War on Poverty, was this LBJ's idea or did it come from somewhere else?
It is LBJ's idea. There was, at the very end of the Kennedy administration, a little bit of talk about anti-poverty programs. But as Kennedy got closer and closer to the election, his political advisors were telling him, there's no votes in helping the poor. And so any sort of anti-poverty programs were really sort of haphazard, targeted to Appalachia, but not as extensive as what Johnson had in mind right from the get-go.
And yet Johnson proposed this during an election year.
Well, Johnson had a deep personal commitment to helping the poor. He himself was poor in his childhood and in his teen years, had to take a year off college to go to work to afford to pay for college. So he had a great deal of personal empathy for the poor and saw himself as an FDR New Dealer, saw himself as the next generation's domestic reformer.
The phrase war on poverty, did Johnson coin that?
In the speech he makes to Congress, he or his primary speechwriter, Horace Busby, are probably responsible. Ted Sorensen takes credit for it in his memoirs, but then says it's something that he doesn't sound like he would write in his second book. So it seems to be sort of a collaborative effort.
What was the goal? Was it to eliminate poverty or simply reduce it? What were they hoping for?
Well, what Johnson says in his speech is that the plan is to eliminate poverty, that the United States is a wealthy enough nation to eradicate poverty in his lifetime, that we have no conscionable reason to allow poverty to continue when we can afford to do things like maintain this extensive base structures overseas. So Johnson really intended – whether or not he could actually accomplish it was another thing. But he really intended to try and eliminate poverty.
How would he go about doing that?
Well, Johnson felt that the most important things to emphasize were education and opportunity, that poverty was a symptom of larger problems, not necessarily a cause, so that if you were living in a slum, that's not necessarily your fault. So giving people greater opportunity for education, greater opportunity for job training, greater opportunity and access to jobs, that in the long run you could bring people out of poverty and without blaming them for their initial situation.
So he makes this proposal in the State of the Union address on January 8th, 1964. What's the response from Congress?
Well, one of the key elements for doing this is Johnson had already carved out the money in the budget. Part of that message on January the 8th was that the budget was actually going to go down for the next fiscal year, that he, in order to get the tax cut passed that Kennedy had failed to do so before his assassination, Johnson had to get the budget down below $100 billion. He was able to get it down to less than $98 billion and actually a $500 million decrease in the budget for that year. In the process, though, he had squirreled away about $1 billion for anti-poverty programs. So he was pressing his domestic advisors to create new programs, what will ultimately become the Economic Opportunity Act that will be passed later in the spring, to emphasize job opportunity and education.
So what happened to the war on poverty during the Johnson administration? Was he successful at all?
He's successful in reducing poverty from approximately 22% of Americans when he comes into office down to about 14% of Americans when he leaves office. The problem for Johnson ultimately is the war in Vietnam, that as Johnson said himself several times, Congress will be much more likely to vote money for the war than for the poor. And as the war progresses and expands, the domestic spending is where he's going to have to pay the price. In 1968, in order to try and slow down inflation, Johnson asks Congress for a one-time 10% income tax surtax. The price he has to pay to get that tax through Congress is a cut in domestic spending. And that cut's going to come in his anti-poverty programs. Because generally speaking, Kennedy's advisors were right. There are no votes in helping the poor.
Could he have been successful if he had not escalated the war in Vietnam?
he could have been as successful as he's going to be. I don't know that you can eradicate poverty. I don't know if that's possible. But I do know that if you're not spending the, you know, several hundred billion dollars that you end up spending on the war in Vietnam, it not only allows you to have more money for domestic programs, it also slows the rate of inflation that you end up with because of the combination of massively increased spending on the war plus massively increased consumer spending. So the inflation that you get in the 70s is going to be less if you're not spending so much on the war in the late 60s.
What lessons do you think America learned from the war on poverty?
Well, at least for a time, the American people learned that the poor do matter. That is, as an affluent country, we do have an obligation to help those who are less fortunate. I think what the American people also learned is something not quite so positive about themselves, and that is that it's much easier to kill these kinds of programs than to create them.
And was this eventually killed?
Well, it's not entirely, but it's been steadily eroded over the course of the last half century. To give the most obvious example, Medicaid went from a program that was free health care and free prescriptions to what it is today, where you have copays for – small copays, but copays nonetheless – for prescriptions and for doctor's visits and a time limit on how long you are eligible. So it's a program that has been sort of chipped away at over time because, again, the poor aren't don't vote. The poor aren't politically powerful enough to maintain their own programs.
Is that a fair justification to not do something, that it all comes down to votes?
Personally, I would say no, but that's how most political leaders view issues. That's what makes Johnson unique. Johnson was aware that there were no votes in anti-poverty programs, but felt that it was a responsibility as president to take this lead. You know, he was told by his advisors, there's nothing politically in this for you. And Johnson's response was, well, what the hell's the presidency for if I'm not going to take this kind of action?
The war on poverty, Medicaid, some of these other programs, initiatives that Johnson took on early in his administration, are these all part of his Great Society?
They're the foundation of his Great Society. That for Johnson, the anti-poverty programs plus civil rights plus the environmental and educational programs are together what would have created what he saw as a Great Society for the United States, where poverty is consistently diminishing, where you have equal rights for all Americans, and where you have equal opportunity for all Americans. And for Johnson, that sort of was the culmination of what he thought the United States should be.
It sounds noble, but I think the Great Society eventually was mocked from all corners. What happened?
Well, for Johnson, it's he was besieged on all sides. For conservatives who didn't believe in this anyway, the inability to permanently eliminate poverty means this thing was going to be always considered a failure. For liberals who hated him because he was not John Kennedy, any falling short meant it was going to be considered a failure. And, of course, with the war in Vietnam costing him support on all sides, conservatives don't think he's doing enough in Vietnam. Liberals think he's doing too much in Vietnam. He's vulnerable. And, again, coming to office the way he did via assassination, he's vulnerable anyway. So for Johnson, without everything going right, exactly right, he's going to be surrounded on all sides by people looking to criticize him, and they found a reason.
Johnson seemed to have some grand ideas to improve society, as you've mentioned, yet he's not considered a great president today. Is this, again, a matter of Vietnam really bogging down his legacy?
Primarily, it's a matter of Vietnam bogging down his legacy, that most Americans consider Vietnam a failure, and Johnson's blamed. Part of it is also, though, is the Kennedy myth. There's no other nice way to put it, that Kennedy's assassination gives him unlimited potential. Kennedy's aides and partisans spent the last half century trying to create an image of Kennedy. He would have accomplished all these things anyway, even though it seems clear that he probably would not have. And so Johnson's not going to get any credit in the minds of these people. So he's again running behind right from the get-go, and Vietnam just guarantees that he's never going to get full credit for what he accomplished.
What about yourself? What sort of grade would you give the Johnson presidency?
Johnson is the greatest president in American history when it comes to civil rights. Johnson's responsible for the Civil Rights Act. He's responsible for the Voting Rights Act. He is, next to Lincoln, the person who did more for minorities in the United States of any president in American history. The war on poverty is a noble idea. He has the legislative wherewithal to get the program through Congress. Unfortunately, Johnson fails on Vietnam. There's just no way around it. The policy was a tremendous failure, an understandable one from Johnson's perspective and the political needs of the time, but a failure nonetheless. So he's a great domestic president. He's not a very good foreign policy president. So, you know, B minus, C plus president overall. But I would argue a better president than John Kennedy.
Do you anticipate any president sort of picking up the war on poverty again? Is this something someone might try to tackle?
It's hard to see it in this political climate. The ongoing struggle for the farm bill and the massive cut to food stamps sort of reminds us all that the poor don't have any political power, and that it's very difficult, especially in a divided Congress, to get this sort of legislation through. So not in the foreseeable future.
I guess the one president who maybe also came from an impoverished background would have been Bill Clinton, and it's not something that ever came up during his administration.
Well, Clinton put politics first. Clinton's sort of hijacks the Republicans' welfare reform program as a means of reducing governmental support for the poor because the poor don't vote.
Anything you want to add?
Well, I feel that Lyndon Johnson's presidency is sort of a missed opportunity. He's a person who had grand visions of what the United States could be. He had the legislative wherewithal to accomplish some of these things and just ran into the war in Vietnam and everything fell apart. And that damage that's done to Johnson's presidency has the long-term impact of giving us the Nixon administration and the economic problems of the 1970s.
How much of that was his decision to escalate in Vietnam, and how much was that was perhaps listening to poor advice from those close to him?
It's a little of both. Johnson inherited Kennedy's advisors, who were unanimous in support of escalation, that you could not afford to lose this territory in Vietnam. That said, Johnson was a congressman when the Truman administration was badly damaged by the loss of China and by what happened in Korea. So it's hard to envision Johnson taking a different path on this. So even without that advice, to protect himself politically, the smart thing and the popular thing at the time was intervention, was preventing the spread of communism using American troops. It's only later, after the Tet Offensive, at the end of Johnson's administration, where a majority of Americans are turned against the war. Right up until that point, a majority of Americans are in favor. So Johnson's doing what looks like the right thing, both politically and in terms of American foreign policy.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.